This is St. Louis Public Radio. A St. Louis online arts journal is celebrating an important anniversary and the success of reaching tens of thousands of readers throughout the U.S. and Europe. James McAnally founded Temporary Art Review in 2011 with Sarita Hun. They're celebrating the site's fifth anniversary with a limited edition book of writing from the site. It may sound like esoteric art stuff, but as McAnally told Willis Ryder Arnold, there's a lot at stake.
Can you give us a brief description of what the Temporary Art Review actually is?
Temporary Art Review is an online contemporary art publication that is meant to connect disparate geographies, so things that are happening especially outside of traditional art centers. We focus on artist-run and artist-centric spaces all over the world.
So why do you think the alternative arts projects are actually worth people's time and worth the attention outside of like a traditional institutional approach?
I think if you look at the art world as a big picture, you realize that most of the activity that's taking place is taking place away from institutions, away from museums. The ideas that end up perhaps in museum collections, they always start in a more immediate level, whether that's from a small storefront gallery or an apartment gallery or just artists getting together and supporting one another's work. That's really where the art world always starts. And it represents a huge percentage of the activity of what we talk about when we talk about contemporary art.
You talk about being anti-profit, subscribing to an anti-profit model. Can you explain that a little bit?
We work predominantly online, and so we were thinking more is possible through that. We started the site for like the cost of the domain initially and operated that way for several years with essentially no budget. And so publications, typically, they run off of an advertising economy. And so what we do is we offer our ad space to our writers and our contributors as a space that they can sell themselves or they own it in some way. So they own little pieces of the site in a very literal sense as well as a more symbolic sense.
Now, an alternative is like specifically defined as other than the mainstream. How in that case do you then try and grow your audience and actually connect with a broader public?
Yeah, we think a lot about the publications produced by artists in the 1960s, especially around conceptual art, and the way that they even talked about that. It was coming out of new technology of the Xerox machine even, that they could easily duplicate and produce alternative spaces for their work to be published or distributed. So we're coming out of that same history of thinking of sometimes small groups of people can make huge impacts on culture.
Why put out a publication right now, and what do you want people to take from that as opposed to what they get from the site?
We really feel like it's a document of the past 5 years in the art world, and especially around questions of what happened post-Occupy, what happened post-Black Lives Matter, who was engaging these issues, what were the spaces that were influential, what were the people's voices who shaped the time and the way the artists were thinking in the present. So we think that's important as an immediate reflection, and we also think about it as, you know, what will this book mean 30 years from now, and being able to look back on this as a real primary document of the time.
So now that you've done that reflection, what keeps you still believing that this kind of critical discourse is important to society?
I think that the ideas that artists work on are central to the issues that are important to society in general, really reflecting on, is it working? Is it not working? Is art having the influence in a political sense that it claims it is? We feel it's a central role of our work. To be constantly asking, is art doing what it claims it's doing? The challenge kind of remains the same. Are we modeling a world that we want to see?